What kind of thoughts spring into your mind with the words working men's club? Sparsely furnished, smoke-filled rooms? Second-rate beer? Third-rate entertainment? Paused periodically for a reverential homage to the mighty game of bingo? Well, perhaps. As one who grew up in a gritty northern town, I knew very little of clubland's immense social importance until the pop group I formed in the 1960s took us into this new world to make a part-time living as Clubland Turns, as we were known. Well, much of the seamier side of Clubland's image was correct, we found, but other aspects did have their merits. They were the community centre of the village, town or city district in which they were located. In industrial and mining areas, they were as common as the British pub in other parts of the country. On television, both Peter Kay's Phoenix Nights series and the earlier Wheel Tappers and Shunters pastiche were only slight exaggerations of real clubland. Many people in the UK have never been in one in their lives, yet others spent the majority of their leisure time in them. So, if you were in the club-going fraternity, then some reminders coming up of those times. If you are a non-clubber, the next few minutes will give you an insight into what you might have missed, for good or otherwise. Working men's, miners' welfares, socials, institutes, political or otherwise, were venues for social gatherings with angling and darts sections, bingo and many other diversions. But central to them all was entertainment. Low-priced, in fact usually free, mini-variety shows under the Club and Institute umbrella that allowed people who signed up at one club to visit and enjoy any of the hundreds of others affiliated to the CIU around the country. They were a leisure way of life for thousands, and they spawned some of show business's later popular and enduring acts. Club-goers could be steelworkers and miners, a fact reflected in their originally male-dominated memberships. They were mostly in areas where large numbers of workers were concentrated, probably around heavy manufacturing or coal mining, often, of course, historically going hand in hand. Large numbers of people employed together, earning often big wage packets, literally wage packets of cash every week. Camaraderie with your workmates of similar tastes and huge appetites for life, disposable income and huge thirsts to go with them. These were walk-to watering holes for mates and for entertainment. What could be more logical? Unlike today's workforces in smaller, more specialised industrial and business parks, with employees often driving dozens of miles to work in them. In recent years, Clubland's decline has been blamed on cheap supermarket alcohol's tendency to encourage stay-at-home drinking while binge-viewing 24-hour multiple TV, computers or other in-house anchors. Throw in smoking bans and you have, bingo, as it were, the demise of Clubland. But going back to their peak in the 50s, 60s and even 70s, a typical club would have at least one pub-style lounge and one main concert room, which might seat 100, sometimes fewer, sometimes more, usually on bench seats around the walls and tables for four in between, probably with a dance floor near the stage. Some much bigger clubs often had bigger acts, and the concert secretary would be responsible for booking acts for one or two weekend nights, and some clubs even had Sunday lunchtime shows. As far as the acts were concerned, these were known as the dreaded noon and nighters, where they faced a smoke-filled, sometimes sunlit, shouted Sunday daytime crowd of almost entirely males. I still shiver at the memory. Most clubs had their own backing for those who weren't self-contained. Usually this consisted of organist and drummer who'd have the difficult job of playing songs they might never even heard of to accompany singers of varied quality. Oh yes, audiences could be noisy, hard to please, and they were the reason why performers thrived or failed as they grafted to make their mark in the school of showbiz hard knocks. But to illustrate the full extent of the growth and demise and the changes that came in the 60s and 70s, I'd like to consider one club's rise and fall. In the days when big star performers could no longer find theatres to work in, this club was typical of the big ones mentioned already, differing only in the fact that it was huge. The king of clubs in the north was Greaseborough Social, in a suburb of Rotherham in South Yorkshire, which broke the no-charge rule to help pay major performers to fill their 500-seat concert room 7 nights a week, possibly the biggest in the country at the time. These were stars, and I take a breath here before reading this list, of the calibre of Matt Munro, Dusty Springfield, The Shadows, Lulu, The Tremolos, Sandy Shaw, The Seekers, Billy J. Kramer, P.J. Proby, Lonnie Donegan, Dave D. Dozy, Beaky Meek and Titch, Kenny Ball's Jazzmen, Frankie Vaughan, Frankie Howard, Georgie Fame, The Barren Knights, Cleo Lane and Johnny Dankworth, Freddie and the Dreamers, Eric Delaney, Johnny Ray, Sob Sob, Bob Monkhouse, Little and Large, Engelbert Humperdinck, and notoriously Greaseborough had Mandy Rice Davis and Jane Mansfield, neither of whom, it's fair to say, were best known for their singing. But all things have their day, and Greaseborough Social Club is now a supermarket. Unfortunately for Greaseborough, its role in bringing big stars to the masses whetted people's appetite to see big names in the flesh, but in plusher surroundings, as along came a nationwide network of big nightclubs offering tiered seating, great lighting, great sound systems, and the bag of crisps was replaced by chicken in the basket, or even, for those who could afford it, scampi in a basket, and those bulging pay packets in still booming steel and coal back in the 70s allowed even bigger names to kill off the big working men's club attraction. So to round off for now, here are just some of those big names, and we mean big names, who appeared at Sheffield's Fiesta nightclub. Take another big breath. The Beach Boys, Kenny Rogers, Nancy Wilson, Blue Mink, The Supremes, Dionne Warwick, as she likes it pronounced, Tony Christie, Gene Pitney, Ella Fitzgerald, The Bee Gees, The Four Tops, The Temptations, Jack Jones, Cliff Richard, Olivia Newton-John, Glenn Campbell, and Bruce Forsyth.